Hello, Lightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski, and everything sucks. With me, as always, is Kate. Kate, I went to Indiana to my sister-in-law's house for...
You're allergic to your sister-in-law's house.
I mean, it's in Indiana, so it's very possible I'm just allergic to Indiana.
Right, as one is.
But, like, this is one of those things that I don't understand because I didn't have a very close extended family. So it was always just my brother and my parents and me who did everything for the holidays. But, no, we have to get together. How can we not get together? It's Easter. We have to get together. My wife's sister, who was hosting the place, loathes her family, but insisted on hosting it. She can't stand her mother, who at this point is deaf in both ears, but will not do anything about it. Then the baby sister is the most, well, I don't know. They don't watch this show. The most selfish human being I've ever met in my life. And so, yeah, it's just weird. It's just a weird thing. And
sounds
so
like a great combination for a right. Super fun weekend.
So I just ended up hanging out upstairs in the den, which is where they put me down to sleep, 3 feet from the loudest grandfather clock in Christendom. Every 15 minutes, ding, ding, dang, dong. But imagine that, but like 100 times ding, louder.
Dong. Oh, yeah.
That. Man, it was bad. So I ended up not feeling great when I woke up for Easter Sunday. And then by the time I got home, I was like, yeah, this is bad. I really wanted to do a weekend recap show last night, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to get through it.
No.
So let's really quickly talk about the thing that got brought up for the first time on SmackDown and then continued tonight.
Alex, are you mad at me because you talked about your weekend first?
Yes, that's what it is.
I figured. I felt the tension.
We were saving you for the main event, and then mm-hmm. I didn't like that because notoriously, I want to go on last.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Except not what Brock Lesnar likes, Alex.
No, Wade Barrett coming like, now I've heard that Brock Lesnar is slightly miffed that his match went on first on WrestleMania Night 2, and he blames Cody Rhodes for Cody Rhodes getting the main event slot. I've heard it through the grapevine. That's what I've done. I'm Wade Barrett. And
he does always say his name.
He always does sign off in his own way. I think this is, and I was like, okay, well, that's just a placeholder because they knew people were going to ask about it and they didn't have any idea what they were actually going to do. So it's a placeholder they can attribute to rumor. But then Corey Graves brought it up again today. And I was like, if this is really what you go with, you guys are farther gone than I think we can ever hope to. Like, my God.
It's been real. Thanks for the false hope.
This is a blockable offense. I don't care how close it is to the truth.
It is not close to the truth. And you're a better wrestler. I already know it.
It says everybody's one warning.
You ever say that again?
This is kind of funny. Funkasaurus is kind of funny.
That is, but it's not enough to overcome the comparison. I will mm-hmm. kick you off of Select.
Mm-hmm.
I will fight your mom.
Yep.
That is a better reason to start a feud than what they set up for Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, Alex, mm-hmm. I am confident, can wave a flag, which Tyrus cannot.
Right.
And he's a better mm-hmm. wrestler.
So, yeah, I guess that was the only thing I really needed to talk about, right? Nothing else really happened on... Oh, the draft. The draft is coming back. In the next few weeks... He said, in the next few weeks. And this time it's going to be different because everybody's eligible. What? Who wasn't eligible before? The champions?
I think last time NXT was not.
Okay, fine.
But they have been like in the past.
Yeah, not bad.
At least that somebody call Melinda. Like it.
No. Wow. Okay. Not to put this person on blast, but somebody who says, wait, why did Trish turn on Becky? Because it's nonsensical. There's no reason for it, especially the way they did it tonight. They'll come up with a reason eventually, but there isn't one currently. And somebody saying, because Becky and her wanted to have a match, that's all that matters. Imagine going through life having standards so low about the storytelling you watch that you think that shit is enough. Oh my God.
And also, we don't know that. We know Bailey did, and we knew Sasha was angling for it for years.
Even if, like, oh, but
also,
but no, but
like, if that was true,
behind the scenes,
story around it.
Becky and Trish wanted to have a match against each other. So let's just not do anything to give them the match, or do the thing that is out of nowhere for no reason at all. And all they had to do was one simple thing, and I'm going to tell you what it is when we get to that match. So we start off the show with Rey Mysterio coming out being like, wow, I really can't believe this is my life, dude. You're 50.
Neither can we.
Like, you accept it at this point. This is what your life is. You're one of the all-time greats, and you have the all-time worst professional wrestler as your son. It's really too bad. How do I know he's the all-time worst wrestler? Because he came out for his promo tonight and said, keep your name out of your mouth.
He's so bad at this.
Keep your name out of your mouth. He's the dirt worst. And then later, later he said,
we also get a reference from just within the past calendar year, like ever.
Later, he does the maybe next time Bad Bunny won't stick his nose out of our business. How do you stick your nose out of somebody's business? Next time he'll keep his nose out of your business, or next time he won't stick his nose in your business? There are two options. Neither of one was the one you chose. You're the dirt worst, and I hate watching you. This is thing.
It's like you stick it out of the business.
Right. So this is the thing that he said on Twitter, and I nearly blew a gasket. But it was like Easter Sunday, and I didn't want to do that at my sister-in-law's house. I saw this where he quote tweeted Dragon Lee, who said, man, I really want to get a piece of Dominic Mysterio for being so mean to his dad. And he tweeted out a GIF from South Park that says, who's this kid? And I wanted to set fire to the world. I dare you to get in the ring with Dragon Lee and just try to keep up for 90 seconds, you piece of shit. You are so bad at this. And the fact that we have to watch it over and 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 over again. He's gonna be on SmackDown too. He's one of the only guys who gets to be on both shows. And I'm sorry, like,
this is live footage of Dominic.
It's a big mistake.
I don't understand just what people say when they've seen so much growth in him. I talked about this with Joel yesterday. Like, he still can't deliver a promo, and not even just tripping up his words. He has no emotional intonation at all, and he can't wrestle. He's not good in the ring.
This is an indefensible position right now. If you cannot have watched what he did tonight and honestly think this, you can't. It's an indefensible position. You're welcome to think it, but you can't defend it. You can't defend
it. No, it's the thing for me is, even if you've liked the creative, which I get, there's just nothing. As soon as you take away everything that he's been given, he's terrible. He's just, what happens after this feud?
Can't.
I can't. what happens after this feud? Like, there's nothing left to him.
There's nothing left for him.
So to me, that says the wrestler is not the thing succeeding in the story. The creative is, which good for him. He just, like, you know, he had a year and a half to be able to do any moves of his dad's at Mania. He couldn't do it. I just once the story is cleared out, there is just nothing left. There's nothing left. And I am very sick of the he gets heat thing. Because it's just, I don't care.
Like, if
I don't care. If you can't pay it off in the ring, why am I watching wrestling? If I just wanted to watch someone be a punk ass, I'd go watch a different show. He can't wrestle.
If he got beat so bad you never saw him again, nobody'd miss him. Like, nobody'd miss him. They'd just go away. And nobody would know, like, where's Dom? Where did he go? Boy, I've really missed watching an hour of programming every week that had his face on it. Nobody would think that. Nobody would think that.
If you filled it in with stuff that was with good wrestlers.
Frey Mysterio had a match with Finn Balor instead. And Finn Balor is he's great. And the elephant.
Yeah,
in the
be
room
honest.
Is...
Yeah, I'm not like I'm certainly not a medical doctor, but what the hell is he doing wrestling after he got 14 staples in his head?
Right.
A bad idea.
This whole thing, the elephant in the room is travel issues. People couldn't get to Seattle, so they had to do things that were on the fly. This probably was unwise to do it like this. The match was good because it's Finn Balor and Rey Mysterio, but obviously they because everything's got to be stretched to fill time. They ran the same. I found a chain and I'm gonna hit you with it. Oh, you stopped me from hitting away the first time, but then I'm gonna go in there and do it again. It just took forever to get to the point of this match, which is just more Dom and Ray. We're gonna get Damian Priest and Dom versus Bad Bunny and Rey Mysterio at in Puerto Rico. They're not dumb enough, I don't think, to have Bad Bunny lose in Puerto Rico. So somehow this stupid feud is going to continue all the way to SummerSlam. They're just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it just forever and ever and ever. And it's, you know, it is. Yeah, it's just. It's
I wonder really if SummerSlam bad. Is where there's a hair versus mask.
Yeah, I mean. A bald
and
bomb would be really
if
funny.
If you're going to give me this, this is actually the way to do it. Like, you should be doing a tag match with Bad Bunny in Puerto Rico to hide the lack of capability of Dawn. So like they're actually getting the most juice they can out of this whole thing. So
yeah.
I can say that is good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like we can joke about this, but like Puerto Rico don't play, man. Like this is not a thing you do in Puerto Rico. Mm-mm. Maybe the team can lose, like they'll have Ray take the pin, but Bad Bunny is not getting pinned in Puerto Rico unless you want that arena to burn to the ground. Like that's not
that
doing
would be...
that.
And I also think you probably want Ray to win so that you have a reason to do the hair versus mask solo match. Yeah. Would be my guess.
Mm-hmm. There was a Cody and Brock video, which we talked about, where it was like, listen, I've seen guys get beatings that made what happened, like what Brock did to what Brock did to Cody, you know what I mean? Like was horrible. And I've seen guys like take a chair shot and be written off for 4 weeks. So the fact that Cody's back the next week being like, you know what? This third rib's giving me a little trouble. This third rib, a little out of place.
Yeah, but everything else is fine, it's the Cena playbook, so of course they are.
Yeah, I know, but it's just I wonder if they would have waited if other people had been there or something. I don't know.
Josh should have done this when he was champion. Know.
They really should have.
There's such a good story right there for you. Of Cody did what Brock couldn't for a decade.
Right. Yeah. Backstage. We saw a Chad Gable and Otis interview, whatever. But then we saw Lita sitting up on the ground, holding the back of her head like her brains were going to spill out.
This is what happens when you don't have Dan Barry there.
Liv and Raquel were there, like, "Oh my God, what happened? Are you okay?" And then here shows
that's not what Liv said. Liv said,
She did say that. And up run Lita, up run Trish and Becky. And we found out that Lita had to be taken to a local medical facility. And if alarms are not blaring inside your head, they fucking should be. So he wasn't there tonight, apparently, but he's still involved.
I mean, he can ruin the show, right? Let's not
right.
pretend.
Oh, that's true. No, it's absolutely true. So then we had Becky declare that we're definitely doing this tag match. I have an inkling of who might have done it, as though it was Damage Katarl still trying to do stuff, or that she thought it might have been Raquel and Liv. But
Alex, why did you have to do this on a regular ass Raw? We have to get it done tonight. Literally, no. Why?
I don't know. I don't even know why you write Lita out of the match here. I mean, I know you do the whole thing with it's Trish, who obviously hit Lita in the back of the head, but I thought they were doing this because Lita...
Spoiler, bro.
Yeah, because Lita didn't show up, and they had to do this instead because of the travel difficulties. They were like, "Oh, well, we'll just do the big heel turn now with no build-up to it." But no, Lita's there. I don't know if she's nursing an actual non-kayfabe injury, but so she got hit in the back of the head by Trish. They went out there, and I don't want to speak ill of the nearly dead, but like when you got people who are in their 50s who are doing matches.
Bad. This was really
like
really,
this is
really,
the
really
worst
bad.
Match Trish Stratus has ever wrestled by a wide margin. And it's just like it's a point where like that you don't have the speed of reflexes or of body to cover when things are off in a match when you get to be that age. You just don't.
And you just don't have the reps. Like
right.
Yeah. I remember Punk talking about that. He was like, when I came back, he was like, I don't know how to find the balance between my bump card is a certain level of filled up and also needing to not be rusty. Like it's a difficult thing. She looked beautiful lady. Looked terrible, terrible in this match. Becky is great. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. Raquel, breaking news, we're behind the paywall so I could talk about it. She has a back. Did you know that?
Oh, Raquel? Yeah.
Yeah. She's got back muscles.
Yeah, I've heard of this. Big if true. But I mean, like, we can report it, but
big if true indeed, because those are big back muscles that she does. Can't confirm. I'm hearing now.
Okay, fine.
She has a back.
Second worst match of Trish's career.
Okay, but that's just unfair because look at the head start you gave them.
Yeah. Anyway, the match was really, really sloppy and really, really bad. And I think that Liv and Becky tried their damnedest, but Raquel has been sloppy for a year and no one's helped her not be sloppy anymore. And Trish is out there like... She was doing stuff that I was like, is she trying to telegraph the heel turn by actively getting in the way of Becky doing stuff? Like, that's what I thought it was. I'm like, is this like 4D chess that Trish is playing here? Trying to like, I get it now. But no, and here's the other thing. So the match was Liv countered a chick kick and rolled up Trish and pinned her.
Let's talk about that kick.
No, let's talk about the thing after that, because Becky comes into the ring and Trish's looking up for her like, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. And Becky's understanding, raises Trish's arm. Becky goes to leave. And I don't know what exactly this was. It looked like Trish tried to walk up behind Becky and put her arm around her, but tripped over her own feet and fell with her face in the small of Becky's back, and then it kind of like pulled her to the ground. That was awful. Chick kick afterwards wasn't good. Here's how you saved, you could have saved this whole thing, like made it actually make sense. That it wasn't necessarily about Trish hating Becky. It was that she didn't like that Lita got her shine, because there is the long-term rivalry with Trish. So if I take Lita out and I help Becky win this match, maybe 100%. I'll get to be the tag champs with Becky. And then if Becky loses the match, if Becky's the one that gets pinned, that pisses Trish off, because that ruined her plans. And that's why she attacks Becky. Because if you can't help me win this match, then what do I need you for, right? If you pin Trish, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Excuse me. It just doesn't make
a lot of sense. It only makes sense from the fact that she looked like by far the most beatable wrestler in that match. So that part makes sense.
It was not good. And then Byron Saxton tried to interview her, and she just walked right past him. And I was like, they gave her a no comment because the writers have no fucking idea why she did that. She just walked right past him, wouldn't look at him. And so, I guess we won't know. I guess we won't ever know why she did this to Becky. But Liv and Raquel are tag champs. They've been together for 2 weeks, and they're tag champs now. And
Raquel did not look good either, though. No. Alex, like she.
No, she didn't.
Her best match, ironically, was the title match with Ronda, and I think it's honestly, we were just talking about reps. It was the only time she had some consistent in-ring work that wasn't like a five-way schmoz with no direction to it or whatever. So,
I
don't know. She's a two-time women's tag champ with her buffet of partners. I also don't understand why you build two women's trios up to then split them up at basically an identical time.
Right, because we also saw Bayley come out of Adam Pearce's office saying that she had, and again, I did not ever hear them say, this is for the number one contendership to the Raw women's title. What I heard was Bayley come out and say, he's going to put me in a triple threat for triple threat against Piper Niven and Mee Chin. And if I win, then I could be in line for a title shot at Bianca Belair. And then Dakota and Mia were like, no, you've had enough title shots, Bianca Belair. We should get it. One of us should get it. And so Bayley goes in and says, and talks to Adam Pearce, and Io Sky got it. They never actually show Bayley, I don't think, telling Io Sky, yeah, I want to talk to Adam Pearce, and he picked you. They never showed that.
Well, they only had 3 hours to work with, so.
Right. I don't even know, like.
I think they announced it because Sean tweeted that too.
Yeah, I guess.
And that match should be awesome. And it does actually like accentuate the story then, of either.
Then have Bayley come out and say, if I win the match, I'm the number one contender. But because she didn't say that. She says, I might be in line for a title match against Bianca Belair. She never says number one contender if I win this match. And besides, we already know they were planning to do two triple threats last week. And the winners of those triple threats would face off. And then you would do the title match. That Byrne who won that second match would then have a title match against Bianca Belair. Okay, but
Bayley was probably being told in her ear at that moment by Vince McMahon, we don't know if we're doing it.
Right, probably. But you have so much time. You could easily do like this the second triple threat next week, or do it on SmackDown, and then do EO versus the second person who wins the SmackDown match on Raw and still have 3 weeks of buildup for Backlash. Like, now we just have EO doing stuff with Bianca for a month that just doesn't, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird to me. I don't even
That know. Is a little weird. I'm excited for EO and Bianca in the ring, though. That'll be really, really good.
It'll be a really good match, and I'm glad that I just wish they had said, like, in the triple threat when that came on the screen.
Yeah.
Number one contenders match. Like, I didn't see that. So if that's the case,
the graphics guy had travel issues.
But the graphics guy had travel issues.
You're right. They also teased, like, we could get split up in the drafts, and yeah. I think it could be interesting if they use the draft to split them up, or if Bailey turns super heel on EO for winning could be actually a really fun possibility, or maybe, you know, EO loses and then Dakota says it's my time.
Yeah.
And all three of them have gone through. That gets Bianca to SummerSlam probably as champion, and then you can build someone up for her to lose to there. Probably back. No, you can't go back to the Becky well again, but no. It feels that way. I don't know. But I like that there's at least a story of Damage Control falling apart, since they didn't have a story of actually being a dominant faction.
It was one of those, I guess. Bobby Lashley and Bronson Reed was a match. It was good. These two big dudes who beat on each other. The story is that Bobby Lashley can't lock in the hurt lock on a man as girthy as Bronson Reed.
That's girthy.
I mean,
he's girthy. You're not wrong.
That is a perfectly legitimate use of the adjective girthy to describe his entire body and not just a part of his body. Grow up.
I simply cannot.
No, I know. So it's a double count out, which is okay. The crowd loved them, the beat down afterwards. Bronson Reed versus Bobby Lashley being two big hosses beating the hell out of each other for a couple of matches feud is fine with me. I wish they had done something along the lines of this for WrestleMania. You could have just done this match.
Sure
could. At WrestleMania Night 2, we could have done the whole thing. You could have had Bobby Lashley throw out Bronson Reed last at the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and then he's in there celebrating, and Bronson Reed gets back in the match, and starts beating on him, and you have a beat down there, and Bobby Lashley backstage at SmackDown says, "I want Bronson Reed Night 2 of WrestleMania," and then you do this match, but you make it 5 minutes long. And you have the exact same finish. And then you could build it from there. You know, give them an actual match. But no.
Could have done it at Raw after Mania. Nope. Yeah. This is fun. My only complaint about it is I don't think either of these guys should lose. I think if someone's going to lose, it should be Bobby Lashley, because I think it'll mean something for Bronson Reed. But I also feel like, you got to get Bobby some wins along the way here.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. Speaking of real tough ones, Cody Rhodes cuts a promo that people apparently liked, and I don't get it, man. Like, you can't keep. I just don't know what you have him come out and be like. Anyway, so what do you guys want to talk about? Well, I have an idea of what they want to talk about. How you were booked to lose that Mania match, and you should have been booked to lose, and also how. You got your ass handed to you by Brock Lesnar last week. They probably want to talk about one of those things. So it's weird for him to ask that question and then, like, do a little tight 2.5 about, you know, what it was they might be asking questions. I like that the rubber chicken is canon. That's good.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. So what do you want to Brock about, Alex?
That's good.
That's what he should have said.
That's good. You should have said that.
Poor feller signed there without... realizing that wins and losses don't matter. And also never watched a Bloodline match. And all the time he was injured. Seems irresponsible.
Yeah.
If you're sitting at home with a torn pec for 9 months, that you wouldn't know the lengths Roman Reigns would go to when they were
I have no idea
the same lengths. he always fucking goes to.
I don't know. Yeah, it's true. I said that Cody didn't earn it. Listen, I have no problem if you tell the story. Tell the story. Finish the story.
You got to tell it to finish
it. If you tell the story, because they're not allowed to talk about his time in AEW. They're not allowed to talk about his time in Japan. They're not allowed to talk about his time in ROH or in Impact or on the Indies. Like, they're not allowed to really talk about it. So there are, unfortunately, and I honestly can't imagine being one of these people, but there are people who did not see anything about what Cody Rhodes had been up to between his last match as Stardust and when he redebuted at WrestleMania last year. They have no clue.
I think they assume he was writing his theme.
Right.
Like, that guy took 6 years to go from having an undesirable theme to an un-goddamn deniable theme.
That's true. But I think that you should tell the story of how I left because I did not like that I was told, this is as far as you're going to get, kid. This is it for you. You're not going any higher than this.
Your ceiling is.
This is your ceiling. Your ceiling is the makeup and the jumpsuit. That's it.
And the cartwheel.
And the cartwheel. That's it. That's your whole ceiling. That's it. You will not get any higher than that in this company. And so I wanted to prove to them that I was an absolute main eventer. So I had to leave to go elsewhere to do that. And tell that story. And I believe maybe they would have told the story if he hadn't been hurt for 6 months or however long it was. But they didn't tell that story. And so he didn't earn it because he came back from injury, got put in at the 30 spot at the Rumble.
That 30 slot did so much damage for me as a viewer.
and then just came out and just basically insisted upon himself until the main event of WrestleMania. And like, there were some good moments in that little feud thing they ran with him and Roman. But once you decide, oh, we are showing you this guy is the guy. We are doing everything except for making him come out with a big neon sign with arrows pointing at him that says the guy. And then you book him.
Including dismantling your 8 month story.
Yeah.
For this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a big loser. And he's also a scaredy cat. He told us he's scared of Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He cuts a promo about how he's a big old loser who sucks. And right. But he's the right kind of loser, so you should definitely still root for him.
Also, he just apparently doesn't care about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens now that they're not doing his dirty work.
No, he doesn't care about them. Why would he care about them? No, he's moved on. He says
that somebody has.
He wants Brock Lesnar at Backlash. I don't think they're doing the match at Backlash. I think they're doing the match at Signs of Time. I think they're going to do the match, but the match is just going to be Brock before the bell rings doing this again to Cody.
Of course.
And then they're going to run the match back. But it'll be like anything goes or something. So Cody can use chairs on him too or something. Some bullshit like that, which of course then
they'll
allows.
They'll throw a scale at him. Yeah, this will be like, we don't know how much you weigh. And I crack him over the back of the head.
Yeah. I wanted to get on some sour chat. Zach Barber says, let me see if I understand this correctly. Trish attacked her best friend so she could take her place and wrestle an entire match, including taking the pin, so she could turn on Becky. What the actual hell? You blew up the greatest, which I guess is what he calls the tag team of Becky and Lita. But that's just Becky and her hot moms. We've already decided that. You blew up Becky and her hot moms and put the titles on a team nobody gives a single damn about. Also, Trish can wrestle Becky on a B pay-per-view? Becky and Lita couldn't get one single successful defense? I'm not a big swearer, so I don't say this lightly. Fuck this company.
Oh my God, you said a curse.
It's true. He did say WrestleMania Backlash, but WrestleMania is not on any of the copy.
WrestleMania.
This is the thing. That's the old copy, Cody. So,
yeah. Unless he got a directive from Vince.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's amazing how quickly this goes through because so much of the matches were long.
Yeah, there were a lot fewer segments, and we have a lot less stamina, so this goes quick.
The Alpha Academy vs. Usos was great.
Oh, it was so good.
And ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Correct, but it was so good.
It was so good.
For a show where people had travel issues, because AEW's shows where they have travel issues have been mid too. I was like, all right, if you're going to put on an awesome tag team match, I'll let it go.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but it didn't even further the Otis story. It didn't even have like the leggy blonde come out on the ramp and Otis get distracted. I mean, you could basically have the same finish with Chad taking the pinfall as, you know, Otis getting kicked over the top rope. At least there's something to build on with Chad and Otis next week.
Well, they had their little backstage.
Yeah, they did.
Where Chad was like,
"But it was,
why are you wearing all this?"
It was negated entirely by the match that then happened, which again had no stakes to it. It was a great match. And sometimes matches are great that have no stakes. But
You could have had stakes.
You could have had not even like stakes, like, oh, it's but a number one contendership, but like progression of a storyline. There wasn't any.
There wasn't, but the match was really damn good. And I gotta say, like, even in that little backstage, Otis is really funny. Like, and not in the cartoonish way he always is, but he has like good timing, even in those like everybody's talking over each other segments.
Yeah.
He liked his sunglasses. Like, he's sincerely really good, not even with like all the goofy stuff. Like, he's really sincerely very funny. But yeah, this match was awesome. I'm really glad that there was so long Chad Gable just wasn't on television. And then he went on an all-time jobber run, as you called it. And I think he's just too good to ignore. So that's really refreshing.
Yeah.
Maybe the Creeds get drafted. I don't know. We'll see. Could be nice behind him. But this was really, in a show where there was very little entertaining things on my television, this was really this was really fun to watch.
It's really, 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 really good. Mee Chin versus Io Sky versus Piper Niven apparently was the number one contendership. And Io Sky won. That's the right call. And I guess we're getting that match at Backlash, though they never actually said.
They got to get some W's for Piper Niven, though. I think they want to. I think they want her profiled, but they got to get her some wins to back it up now. But this was pretty good. There was nothing wrong with it, but just because of the way this episode went, this felt like a drag, and there was nothing like overly outstanding about it except for an Io Sky moonsault, but I'll take it. There was nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Just for a number one contendership match that we found out real fast. This didn't have any like, oh, dope moments in it.
Kevin Owens and Solo Sikoa faced each other on back-to-back episodes of Raw a month ago.
That is
correct. And so hooray for consistency. This was the best match they've done, I think.
Yeah, agreed. But everybody was saying, oh, Vince isn't back in control. We haven't had a bunch of rematches yet. Well, guess what, pals?
Yeah. I think it was supposed to be Sammy versus Solo.
Yeah, I think it was.
Because Kevin... No, sorry. Yes, hold on. Yes.
You're coughing a lot over there, so.
Oh, yeah. That was really botched. Sorry. Looked like I was Trish Stratus there.
I was just going to say, what was the chick kick of Vassos?
KO versus Souls happened four times since January. It's true. This is the fourth match. But it was back-to-back weeks in March, a month ago. So.
I also like, they're building toward a pay-per-view called Backlash. I'm expecting rematches for something like that.
Yeah, I know. Kevin Owens did an amazing job of cutting a promo that made this ridiculous thing. Like, did it not seem to you, like, I don't know if you saw, I only saw it in a clip that they showed on Twitter of Kevin Owens getting taken out by Solo on SmackDown. But that seemed like a, oh, I guess Sammy's teaming with Matt Riddle for like 3 or 4 weeks. Like, that's what it felt like to me. Like, they were writing Kevin off and then like, oh, we have nobody to face Solo because both Sammy and Matt Riddle are on the same plane and they're not going to be here until 15 is for the end of the show.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. That I can kind of see what you're saying there. That it did feel like Kevin was being like,
I know. Kevin. I feel like they were going to do it again. It's so stupid. I know. I feel like they were going to do. Yeah. So. Because they can't do Matt Riddle versus Solo until SmackDown, because they're going to do that on SmackDown. Solo's going to get a lot of that, but yeah. I'm in a storyline way, I'm fine with Matt Riddle coming back to take revenge on Solo, who put him out for several months in kayfabe.
Yeah, they actually returned to something that knocked someone out. Right, that's a rarity.
That's good. Does he have to do it to like where he steals a bunch of Kevin and Sammy shine? Can we not do it in a different way other than this?
Yeah, and I just want a fresh program for the tag champs. Yeah, like I want it to be like, all right, we got the titles. Mm-hmm. Street Profits, American Alpha, Viking Raiders. Like I want them to be those type of champs.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yes, this is a bobblehead of Beast Man from Masters of the Universe. It is a prized possession of mine.
That was the first time I saw him, and he's just hanging out back there.
Mm-hmm, just there. I also got, well, Jesse, you'll like this one.
Is he a half man, half bear pig? He's half beast, half man?
No, kind of. Kate, I mean, Jesse, you'll also like this one.
A lot of words came out of that bobbly little noggin.
It's true. It's true. That was oh, and they beat up Kevin after he lost with a lot of like, hey, Cody, I hope you were watching this particular match, because this is kind of how the Bloodline works. They have as many guys at ringside as possible to turn the tide in their favor. So yeah.
Oh my god, Jeremy had the best tweet about it. What did he say?
It's so true.
You haven't even been watching the Spark. You didn't even read the Spark notes over the past of the course here.
Yeah. Get the Clips notes, man. So then we cut to the parking lot and Sammy and Matt Riddle running in. And would it kill Matt Riddle to put on some damn pants?
Yes.
Like, apparently so.
He was with Randy Orton, who hasn't worn pants in like 15 years.
Yeah, so. But at least Randy wears boots and knee pads. Like, when it's just the really, really high bikini brief trunks and nothing else, it really does feel like he's nude. So he's running in his flip-flops, which is a bad idea. Like, okay. I mean, running
your flip-flops. Who was the comedian who was like, when you wear flip-flops, you're basically saying, hope I don't get chased today. That's kind of
where that is funny, true. But also, I hope I don't accidentally step on something slippery on a cement floor that's been buffed. Because Ember Moon was running around in actual wrestling boots and stepped in some water somebody had spilled and tore her Achilles and thought she was never going to wrestle again. I'm not the biggest fan of Matt Riddle, but I don't want him to rupture his Achilles while running around in flip-flops. Dude, find something you can wear that's not part of your gimmick for just a run-in. How about that?
I found Jeremy's tweet. It says, can't preach, do the work, and then not at least check out the Spark Notes 3-hour video of the Bloodline. I can't argue with it because it makes sense that Riddle is involved in this, but I don't like it. So there's that.
I hope that TSA did not let him through if he's wearing that to get on the plane. That's not okay.
It was Dimitri Martin. Thank you, Jesse Ozog.
Yes.
Yeah, that was wrong.
That's it.
Kevin Owens was really pushed his merch, which I appreciated. I think he was like, I wasn't supposed to work today, but now I am. I'm going to talk about my shirt a bunch.
Buy my merch.
Go buy my shit.
Yeah, that's it.
Respect.
All right. That's it. That's the whole show.
Okay. I have a closing question.
Okay.
Is Vince McMahon Dutch Vanderlyn? Your thoughts?
I mean, sure.
Dutch has better facial hair is what.
True. I don't really know. Like, even if Dutch's plans sucked, he actually had plans.
That's true. In they the video game, you're not like, did he rip this up 14 minutes before I started playing the scene?
He's like, no, we're gonna steal a bunch of money from this trolley station. There's literally hundreds of thousands of dollars at this trolley station, and we're gonna use that to buy a boat, and then we're gonna sail from New Orleans, Saint Denis, but it's New Orleans, all the way across the Cape of South Africa, and we'll be in Tahiti in 2 weeks. Like, that's a plan. It sucks, but it's a plan. I don't think Vince even has, like, even something remotely scheduled as a plan.
That's fair. I feel like if there were headsets, Dutch would have been in their ears during robberies.
That is true. That is true.
100%. Yeah, and they would have been taken to a local potion scientist.
Not yet, Michael Grooms. They'll give us a date, a firm date at some point. It'll probably be the SmackDown.
Triple H's going to come out and announce it every week.
The SmackDown following Backlash, and then the Raw following that SmackDown. They usually do SmackDown first and then Raw the next time. So as we get closer, we'll do predictions.
Yeah, remember when they had the dumb draft rooms with all the Fox Synergy characters?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'd be bad. Okay. That was it. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed.
Samesies. Everything
hopefully,
sucks.
Hopefully Toodles. we're both feeling better tomorrow. I mean, NXT is going to put us in a terrible mood, but
Better than Raw last week. Let's keep the trend going.
All right.
All right. We're on the road to spring breaking.
Yeah. Oh, everything sucks.
Toodles.